Today on Food on Friday, I'd like to talk about marmalade. I love marmalade. I'm not sure if you do, but there is a swell of popularity again for marmalade after it hitting a bit of a trough. And the Brits are renowned for their marmalade. They even celebrate it at a festival these days in the northern English county of Cumbria. And the last festival was held only last weekend. But the town of Buninyong, which is near Ballarat in central Victoria, is giving the Poms a run for their marmalade money. At this most recent festival, a team of marmalade makers from Buninyong beat an equivalent team from England. It seems to have kicked off a rivalry now between England and Australia in the great sporting tradition of the Ashes. And as we lost the Ashes, I think we should beat them somewhere else, in this case in the Marmalade Ashes. And with me are two guests who, across the great divide of the competitive marmalade world, are joining me today on Bush Telegraph. On one side of the globe, I have Australian marmalade maker Russell Luckock, who came up with the idea of challenging the Brits. And Russell, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you with us. And also joining us from Cumbria in the UK is Jane Hazel McCosh, who is the organiser of the original Marmalade Awards and Festival. Jane, welcome to you.
Hello, and good morning from England.
And tell us the weather today, Jane.
It's very wet and very cold and really rather miserable.
Well, of course, you're feeling miserable anyway, aren't you? Because, Jane, you were very confident when you heard from Russell that he had a contingent of marmalade from Australia to challenge the festival with. You were very confident of victory.
I was confident indeed, because I knew the way people make marmalade over here has gone on for centuries, and I couldn't believe that the Aussies could put up such a challenge.
Well, I want to get to that challenge in a moment with you, Russell, but Jane, let's just go back to the beginnings of all this. How long have you been running a marmalade festival and award structure?
Well, it's in its sixth year. It's the world's original marmalade awards and festival, and it's all about competition. And people from all over the world send marmalade in, and we have had quite a lot of marmalade from Australia in the past, but never such a contingent as this. But we get it from Japan, from Lisbon, from Canada, all over, and we judge it with the WI judges, which are unbribable judges. And
More's the pity. More's the pity, Jane.
this year we had over 1,000 entries, and you can imagine that was an enormous amount of jars, which then got put out on display in my house, which is a wonderful old 18th century house with beautiful wooden paneling. And you can just picture it for a moment with some sunshine, which we have had over the last few days, shining in on these glorious little golden jars of marmalade all through the house. And we have many different categories, which are really fun. So we have one which was the family affair, which was when people can make marmalade together with their children. We had another one which was the most inventive marmalade, which was slightly scary, has to be admitted, with the different mixtures that people have put in. And then we had the very pure and proper marmalade, thin-cut devil, which is very beautiful marmalade indeed.
Has marmalade had some hard times in terms of consumption and popularity?
Well, apparently so. And in the press, it was saying that the consumption of marmalade was going down. But I would say that actually my festival, my awards, is bringing marmalade back on the map, which is a big claim. But I do believe that actually, and various supermarkets would bear this out, that the sale of devil oranges is actually going up quite considerably. And we're actually experiencing a severe shortage, which maybe is why our challenge couldn't be quite as good as it might have been, because we didn't quite have enough fresh oranges to put up the proper challenge. Who knows?
Oh, Russell, that sounds to me like Jane's already making excuses for a very poor form, don't you?
No, but she's on the right track, because she's got such a tremendous resource in all the citrus, you know, that's in England and all the citrus that's out here, several oranges and so forth, and plus the talent of all the marmalade makers across England and the marmalade makers across Australia, who we'll be calling on next January.
Oh, indeed. Okay, well, I want to find out more about what you have in mind for that, Russell, but let's talk about your challenge to the monarchy of marmalade, if you like, right, in Cumbria. Buninyong, tell us about the community itself. You're near Ballarat, but how big are you?
Well, we're quite small. We're about 3,000 people, a few more if you count the surrounding district, as we do. But we're just a little village, and we just sort of thought that we were sort of reeling a bit after the Ashes loss to England, and it means 2 years we've got to sort of hang our heads in shame a little bit. So we sort of thought, well, we must be able to do something else to beat the Poms at some game that they invented. And so we suddenly hit on marmalade, and that's where it all began. That's where the challenge began. We sent an email across to Jane, and she very graciously accepted.
And did you actually coin the term marmalade ashes in that email?
Oh, well, I think we did. See, it goes back to the Ashes. We're strictly in accordance with the Ashes. Because the Ashes are always kept at the MCC, at Lord's, in England.
Yes.
And even if Australia wins it, we've got to travel to England to see the trophy that we won. And so it struck us that we could do it the other way, and that would be perfectly fair then, that what we do would be, we'd have the marmal ashes, and we'd ensconce them in the, empanel them, in the dock of the old Buninyong courthouse. Hasn't been used for years.
And what are the marmal ashes made of?
Ah, Russell? Well, that's what we don't know. See, as with the ashes, it's a little urn, and there's rumour about what it actually contains. Some people say it's a burnt bale. Some people say it's the cover of a cricket ball, etc., etc. And that's the same with the marmal ashes. You know, there's rumours around. There's an instant legend that it's a burnt batch of marmalade. But there's a lot of other contentious things that it might be in there as well. But it's just a tiny little jar, very insignificant, but omnipotent. Omnipotent between England and Australia.
Jane, I was wondering perhaps if you had some insights that you can share with us. I've got Russell here too, of course, and I know this is the first time you've had a conversation about all this, but Jane, do you know what's in the ashes? Because I thought it was wooden spoons burnt down from marmalade making.
Well, clearly, it's a bone of contention here, because it's a very interesting thing that these ashes are over in Australia and not here. And I'm deeply concerned about this.
Well, let's talk about the competition itself. Jane, you've mentioned that it's been running as a festival now for about, I think, 6 years, you said. And you've got more than 1,100 entries just this year alone. You've mentioned some of the categories. Is it all traditional marmalade? Are we talking here about Seville oranges in various categories, or are we talking about a range of citrus on show?
We are, and that's the interesting thing, really. What we discovered was that people are very passionate. Every single jar, I would say, out of those 1,000 jars, are different. And they all have their own personal sort of story and their own personal person who loves making that particular kind of marmalade. And so we have these range of categories because we realised that actually Seville orange marmalade isn't the only marmalade in the world. And, for instance, dark and chunky is a really popular one.
Which is a category. You've got a category called dark and chunky.
Dark and chunky. We also have a man-made category, because what is interesting is that men make marmalade, has to be said. Men do barbecues and men make marmalade.
Well, Russell, you're one of those men who makes marmalade, aren't you?
Yes, I am. And we have a Mike Blake, who's a male marmalade maker, who put in a couple of jars in there too. But we also had the Country Women's Association, the same as the British WI.
And so they came to the fore when it came to getting your entry in. And I do understand that you really had to push hard to get enough marmalade in for the entry, didn't you?
Oh, no, Michael, no.
Oh, I thought time was upon you.
That's a furphy that came from England.
Ah.
There's a lot of furphies coming from England. Jane won't understand the term furphy, will she?
Jane, I think he's accusing you of malpractice in terms of the facts.
Oh, no. I wouldn't dare do that.
There was a long pause after an email I sent him recently, before the competition, and I thought maybe they were buying out,
yes.
Maybe they decided the challenge was too tough.
Yes.
But you came to the fore, Russell. So how many people threw in their marmalade for your entry?
Well, we've got five.
Right.
We've got three from the CWA and two men. And each group put in six, because you've got to have a 12th jar. You can't have a 12th man, can you, as you would in cricket, but you've got to have a 12th jar. So that's where the 12 came from. But we covered the range. We had limes, we had kumquats, we had grapefruit, we had Seville oranges, etc., and a mixture of them as well.
And in which categories did you shine the most when it comes to the judging?
We'll have to ask Jane that.
Jane?
Well, it has to be said that I think the kumquat one was absolutely delicious. We just put all your certificates into the paste because each one of those jars has now got a certificate of merit or whatever standard they got to. And then we added up all the points together and put them against the English points. What's interesting is that we had really good judges. And I hope you were glad of my attention to detail because I had two Australian judges. One lady who actually comes from Ballarat, and then we had two English judges, the Rory Stewart, the MP, and the master of the Fruiterer's Livery Company from London. And so I felt it was a fair mix of people, plus the WI umpire, as the final say.
That's right. So any allegations of bias, of course, couldn't be founded on fact, because there was a balance across the continents.
Completely balanced.
Michael, I'd have to say that we're extremely pleased with the judging. We sent our Australian 11 over with a little bit of fear in our hearts because here we were sending ours across to England, to English soil, to be judged in England by English judges. And we were a little bit apprehensive about this.
With an English palate, of course.
But we thought that because Cumbria is close enough to the Scottish border, that might negate any English bias.
Jane, I need to ask you, when one does judge marmalade, what are the criteria?
Well, it's a very interesting thing, really. You've got your texture, you've got your taste, you've got the colour, and you've got the set. But in the case of marmalade being sent all the way from Australia, clearly it's going to be sort of thrown about a bit. So that the set might be less good, and we take that into account.
When you say the set, do you mean the viscosity of the marmalade?
Yes, exactly. And we have one lady put it like this, it's the toast test. Will it spread on some toast, not fall off it, and not be in great big lumps? And I think that's quite a good way of testing marmalade, essentially, for its set.
My guests today are Jane Hazel-McCosh, who is the founder of the Marmalade Awards and Festival held in Cumbria in the UK every year. And only last weekend, for the first time ever, the Marmalashes. Did I say Marmalashes or Marmalade Ashes? Which one, Russell? What do I say?
Marmalashes.
Marmalashes. I like that. Marmalashes. Because my other guest here is Russell Luckock, who came up with the idea of challenging the Brits at their very own game of marmalade making, and in the debut year of this competition has taken out the ashes. What was the final point score, Russell? Because I'm sure you've been clinging on to that and bragging amongst the community.
Well, Jane was very, very kind to provide it as 210 runs to the Brits and 225 to us. So that was extraordinarily pleasing to us, and a little bit of dismay in England, we hear. But we know the English of old, that they will rise up next year, as Jane says, that they'll be in the nets and up to the crease next year.
It will be next year.
Yes, oh yes, yes, yes. At the Cumbrian Festival, Jane's Cumbrian Festival, next February, we will be there with an Australian 11, which we will choose from right across Australia. So now, just make sure Jane doesn't hear this, but what we're doing is calling for marmalade makers across Australia to gird their loins, to gear up their recipes, to hone in their marmalade skills, because we think the English will be much stronger next year.
Actually, while we're talking about this, I'm sure there's people listening who have tried many times and perhaps unsuccessfully to create a great marmalade. I take it that the recipes and the methodology would change depending on the fruit you're using, Jane?
I think that's absolutely true, and also the freshness of it. Because, for instance, I mean, all the several oranges that get brought into this country are not instantly picked and then popped into the pan. And we noticed with one from the British Virgin Islands that it had this exquisite taste. And we put that down to the fact that probably the fruit was so fresh that it went straight into the pan and made the wonderful lime marmalade. I'm sure that's part of it.
When it comes to Buninyong itself, Russell, I think this competition has been a very canny idea from your mob, because I imagine this is going to help raise Buninyong's profile as a tourism centre no end.
Yes, that's one particular aspect of it, because we've got the Buninyong Marvellous Marmalade Fair coming up in January, because that's where we'll have the selectors to select both the 11s, the Australian 11 versus the English, and we'll also have a Buninyong 11, which we're hoping to go up against an English village.
Of similar size, of similar population?
Yeah, similar size, suburb, town, village in England. That's up to England to choose, of course. But we sort of struggled under the task of, here's a small town taking on the whole of England. Well, Cumbria anyway.
So I imagine in some ways now you've got yourself this lovely idea, because not only have you won the inaugural Ashes, but you're trying to put yourself on the map as well as almost a sorting house, a judging house for national input before heading off to England.
That's exactly right. And we've got our tagline we've just come up with, which was Buninyong Marmalade puts a zest into your morning.
Oh, I like
there
that.
There you go. And actually what we're going to do also is to get Macca to write us a song about marmalade.
Are you groaning with anticipation here, Jane?
I'm longing for this. This is going to be wonderful. Now, I do have to say another outrageous statement, that actually I believe that Cumbria is the centre of the world for marmalade, and I just wondered what Russell's views were on that.
Well, Dan, we're perfectly happy to send ours over to you to judge. And we're perfectly happy to win as well. But your judging was great. The sort of description that Jane gave of the judging was remarkable.
They sat at a wonderful table in front of my big dining room fire, and the judges sat arrayed round the marmalade, tasting it, and people were able to watch. And I have to tell you, the tension in the room was very great, and the discussion and the disagreement about each jar as it was being judged.
And, of course, Australia takes out the inaugural Ashes for marmalade. I don't want to keep harping on about it. On the other hand, maybe I do, Jane. So from both of you, I know you won't want to give away industrial secrets to each other, let alone across a national radio audience. But for those people beginning their journey into marmalade making, some tips.
Oh, some tips. Well, these will be very broad, basic tips because of the fact that it's on air and the Englanders are listening. But choosing your fruit very carefully. And then each year we tweak the recipe just fractionally. So we tweak the boiling time just slightly. And the other thing I did was to test it out on the board members. We've got a little Buninyong bank here that we've just started, and there's 8 board members. So they each receive a jar, and I get the feedback from them as to what that particular batch was like. So there's a bit of tasting and testing before we even submit a jar.
Jane, for you?
I think, from the English perspective, I often think that actually having other people round about chopping up with you makes it a whole lot of fun. And, good marmalades come out of
this. Well, both of you have almost a year now of testing and retesting. And then, of course, the gloves come off next January, February 1st in Buninyong as the national titles are held for the first time. And then over we come to challenge your best 11 again, Jane. So watch out.
Well, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, we haven't got onto the sledging yet.
Well, I'll let you two roll around in marmalade beating each other up later. Jane Hazel-McCosh and Russell Luckock, I do thank you both very much indeed, and all the best for the next 11 months.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Jane, good to talk
nice
to you.
Nice to meet you.
Right on, Jane.